Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
9:05 Saturday morning, Walter Assey joins me now, president of Renovco, with solutions to all of your problems. Well, maybe not all of them, but your renovation problems, because it is a long weekend and many of you will be venturing out into the renovation field. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing great. I like the way how you actually precise that I can't help them with all their problems.
Listen, if you're going through a breakup... Well, who knows? Maybe Walter has a softer side. We don't know about.
I do.
Okay. So 514-790-0800 for your breakup questions. No, for your renovation questions, 514-800. For the text line, we'll be taking your calls. We'll be taking your text messages. But Walter, it is the long weekend, which means people will be outdoors. They're going to be enjoying their outdoor spaces. And we're talking gardening, right? So gardening is a big one. And you say the place to start, we got to look at grass. What about the grass?
Well, I mean, look, when it comes to any exterior work, we have to factor in the weather, right? What I like about the spring or the month of May, it's still bearable to be outside. It's not too humid. It's not too hot. There's not as many bugs. So when you're gardening, I mean, you're spending long hours out there. So it's going to be really uncomfortable real quick. Mm-hmm. Even if you're hiring people, in labor, we always say there's the factor of the comfort of the technician. It doesn't matter how skilled they are. If they're not comfortable, they're not going to do as well a job.
Quick and out. That's right.
Yeah. And then there's the other aspect of the best time. For example, right now we see a lot of people seeding their grass. That's the best time. It's usually fall and spring. To seed your grass and get anything that is that requires you to be long hours out there. Choose a nice cloudy day if possible. Check out your pavilion, your gardens, your seeding. Add some earth to build up the areas where you don't have sun, and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter remains: no matter what you do in construction, make sure that you are choosing agreeable conditions. Mm-hmm. For example, if we're doing roofs and it's plus 40 out there, there's no way I'm sending my guys up there. I don't care how much that's going to delay me. They're not going to do a good job. It's dangerous for them.
It's dangerous.
That's correct.
Right.
Same thing applies to the winter. Because sometimes you are obliged to do some jobs on the outside, especially in new construction. Mm-hmm. If their fingers are not comfortable, they're not doing a great job. I don't care how skilled they are. They could do a better job.
So we have to say, though, because we are talking about the long weekend and the gardening, you mentioned the seeds, the seeding. What are we looking for in terms of like the grass in Quebec? You hear Kentucky bluegrass all the time. You hear these words being thrown around. What actually grows properly?
I mean, the good thing with us is we have good earth and good weather in general to allow grass to grow. Mm-hmm. Now, there are obviously better seeds in the sense that they are made for our weather. So I like to, for example, buy my seeds from pepinieres and, it's local seeds and what have you. And if you speak to a pepinier, we'll tell you, do not buy, American seeds necessarily that they grow, for example, in Florida, because it's not the same weather. Now, truth be told, it's more in the preparation, the earth, the kind of earth you're going to use as well, and the watering, and do not overwater, just keep it humid, so on and so forth. There's techniques for that. If it's a small area, I like to use like black earth that's made for gardening. It's mixed. Because it will just be faster for the seed to grow, and rather than just that cheap topsoil. But I mean, this is pretty much what it is. There's no big magic to it. It's more in the preparation, and just the idea is to keep the seed moist at all times.
Keep the seed moist at all times.
Not overwatered, moist.
Okay.
That's important.
We are talking also about the checklist. I like to call it a checklist. So we're getting into the summer months. The weather's going to change. We're going to be looking at more rain. When you're looking at the exterior, as people are outside, what is the sort of checklist they should keep in mind to get the house ready?
That's a great question, because there is kind of a false comfort when it comes to nicer weather, meaning we tend to forget real quick all the problems we were having in the winter. If you have a drafty window, now it's not drafty anymore, so we don't look at it as much or we don't think about it as much. But then in September or October, we start panicking about it.
Yeah.
So anything that is exterior and seasonal, as early on as you can in the season, focus on it and get it done or get it booked up to be done.
So do the winter projects in the summer. The, all the problems that you noticed in the winter, get them done in the summer.
Correct. I mean, like, let's say, for example, a window. A window, depending where you order it in the season, anywhere between 4 to 8, sometimes 12 weeks if you are in the... in the height of the season, right? Depending, because it's based on demand. So if you're thinking, well, you know what, I'll call in October to change my window, your window is being changed in January, February.
So don't put off the problems, basically.
Don't put off the problems. The other aspect of it is the good guys get booked first. So do not be with stuck with the leftovers, right? This is pretty much in any in anything. So, you know, the earlier you start, the better it is, the more planning you have around it, whether it's bricks, whether it's windows, roofs, caulking, gutter, whatever issues you have, get on it and real quick.
You mentioned the bricks. That, that was part of the checklist. So what are we looking at for bricks?
I mean... bricks is there's many things. When we say bricks, we're talking about bricks, stones, anything that is the mortar. So if you have to repoint your bricks, do not underestimate what that could do to a home. If you see that you have missing mortar, what's happening, if you want me to kind of just go with a bit of a graphic explanation, the water gets in between... those openings in the winter, and then it freezes, and then it expands. And then if you don't, so that means there's water that is actually infiltrating behind your bricks. And, you know, somehow it's going to eventually find its way into your home or finds its way to rot some exterior cladding in the process, creating carpenter ants and everything else.
All the good
and,
stuff.
And potentially some structural damage because, you know, our most of our homes are made out of wood. So that's one thing that, that we want to look at and take seriously. The expansion as well could create buckling in the brick. Don't forget, cracked mortar in a brick, okay, there's weight on it, there's pressure. So if you don't rectify that, what's going to happen is, you know, the pressure is going to keep on increasing, increasing. It's going to create cracks in the bricks, staircase cracks, we call them. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see a balloon or a buckling in the brick itself. So what could have started with a smaller problem will end up being a much bigger problem. So that's a problem that's going to bite back.
That's going to bite back, and I'm guessing it costs a pretty penny to fix.
If it bites back, absolutely.
It's not nibbling.
Yeah,
it's biting nibbling. Back. We've got a question on the text line, which I'll get to in just a bit. I want to remind everyone, 514-800. Send Walter, ask your questions on our text line or call us, 514-790-800. Questions for Walter. I know many of you will be outside. Many of you will be starting your renovations. Many of you will be looking at the checklist that we'll be talking about on today's show as well. So we did the grass, we did the bricks. We're going to get to the rest of the house.
We're building the whole home.
We're building the home of almost from scratch. We're getting close to 9:14 actually right now. Currently 18 degrees in downtown Montreal. Let me take a quick look at the weather before we head on over to traffic. For now, our high is 24 degrees. Our low is 13 tomorrow, Sunday. 26 degrees is the high. Sunday is going to be a low of 16. Monday, 30 is the high for now, though.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
9:21, and we are here to help. And by we, I mean Walter, because he will guide us through, Walter Assey, all of your renovation questions. It's the long weekend. You're out there. You're starting your projects. You're getting your hands dirty. We've got a call right now. We've got Nancy from Brossard. And Nancy has a particularly, I don't know what the word here is. It's a big problem. Nancy, take it away.
For taking my call. It is a very annoying problem.
Yep.
So I have groundhogs who have been living under my front cement porch for a while. I have a little rock garden. I didn't know that they were doing that. But anyway, they're there. And it would seem that that's their entranceway, and they like to also have an exit way. So in the spring, I noticed that a couple of my Pavillonese stones were loose. And lo and behold, to find out that they've burrowed a path underneath my driveway.
Wow.
I'm not sure how far it goes. I've had somebody in to look at it. And their idea is to go 4 feet down to put a screen, a chicken wire or something, so that they can't access underneath my front porch. So then they would then fix the driveway. So I'm just reaching out to say, does that make sense? Or I don't know what else to do.
Walter, this is a tricky one, right?
It is a tricky one indeed. What you could do, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at this. The one thing that you could do, you might be able to do yourself before you go with that, if you wish, extreme way of doing a solution. We always try to go trial and error. We try the simplest things first, and preferably the things you could do yourself.
Okay, I like that.
Because 4 feet down, it looks like it's going to be a big undertaking. It would work. You're going to put a chicken wire and what have you. That's one way to solve the problem. And the reason I'm saying it's going to be a big undertaking is because you're going to end up with a 4 feet hole, which means that the land will settle with time, and then you're going to have to add more earth, plus it's going to cost you a pretty penny doing all of that. So there is a domino effect in that idea. It is one way of doing it if it is the last resort.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a couple of solutions before.
Thank you.
And you're going to try them. One of them is not going to cost you anything. It's going to sound a bit weird, but it's not going to cost you anything.
Okay.
The other one might cost you a bit of money, but I guarantee you it's going to be way cheaper than digging 4 feet and putting chicken wire.
Okay.
So do you have any pets at home?
Yes.
What do you have?
A dog and a cat.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So it's actually closer than you think. So what you're going to do, you're going to go in the path of the groundhog, and you're going to clear the vegetation around those holes.
Okay.
So you want to try to expose it as much as possible to remove the security blanket that they'd like to have around their hole for other predators not to come, right?
Right.
So make it exposed. Then you're going to bring urine-saturated litter from the litter box of the cat.
Say that again?
That's exactly what I said. It's going to
sound good morning,
weird.
Everyone. Urine-saturated
litter. That's right.
Okay.
I told you it's going to sound weird. But I mean, it's free, right? So
it's free.
There has to be a silver lining somewhere. Think of it as a fertilizer, okay? So it's a win-win situation.
Yep.
It is a fertilizer for your lawn. If it doesn't work, you know, that area will be nice and healthy with grass.
Okay.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to kind of, they don't like that smell. They anything with very strong stench,
okay,
they try to stay away from. So, that you know, the more you put, the more saturated it is, the more successful that, you know, that solution might be. So that would be solution number one.
Okay.
Solution number two would be to trap them.
Right.
Okay. Now, usually I kind of dissuade homeowners to do things themselves when it's a wild animal. So you trap them, but I mean, obviously it's a humane trap by which you relocate them to another location.
Right.
So either by calling, an exterminator that specializes in these things, that's going to cost you cheaper.
Right.
Than digging down 4 feet and chicken wire and what have you. Because you're going to have a very hard time convincing them to leave if you don't make them feel unwelcome, okay. Right? So these are the two
things
I would start, and I guarantee you they will be cheaper than digging your 4 feet with a chicken wire.
Perfect. Nancy, are you gonna go the stinky litter?
I will, because you know why? I don't do litter here. It's my son, so he's gonna have a new job.
What's your son's name? Just so we know, the poor fellow.
Philip.
Oh, Philip, poor Philip.
You know what, Nancy? I'll tell you one thing. Give your cat lots of water. Hydrate her.
And give Philip a raise in his allowance, because
you know what, honestly, guys, it's his cat. I'm not even a cat person, but he adopted this refugee cat, so you know what, maybe it all happened for a reason.
You see?
So Walter, just to okay, that's perfect. You know what, you're right, the hole that they used to go in is covered by two big cedars. And I was shocked when I saw how big the hole was, when I actually saw them going under the cedar, you know. And so I'm going to remove those, and I'm going to – how often do I have to add this the litter?
I mean, as often as – to be quite frank, it might be a process, but as often as you can. Now, if you don't want to go the litter way, you could buy anything from – even exterminators, they sell products that have a very strong stench to them.
Okay. And they are made to... Why not, you know?
but also, how do you keep them from... Let's say that little family goes.
Yeah.
Do you just keep filling it with litter? I never thought that I'd be talking this much about litter, you guys. Okay.
Exactly. It's Saturday morning.
But do you just keep filling it? How do you make sure that
once that family goes, the likelihood of another family coming is not that high.
They tell them, don't go there.
But at least you'll get rid of this one particular family. Because usually it's the same guys, you know, that stick around that area.
Well, I really, really, I'm so happy I called in. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wasn't even sure you guys would take my call, to be honest.
Nancy.
But I thought, what do I have to lose?
Nancy,
right?
We take everyone's call. Everybody is welcome here.
Yeah, and again, Philip needs some kind of an allowance raise.
Thank you. Okay, I'll consider. No, he's old. He's old enough. He doesn't need an allowance.
We'll give him a hug then, because
I can do that.
There you go.
I can do that.
Okay. So Nancy, thank you for calling. That was Nancy from Brassard. A reminder, 514-790-0800 for all of your renovation needs, not necessarily kitty litter oriented, and 514-800 for the text line. We've got a call coming in, which we'll take in just a little bit, but we're just shy now of 9:30. Don't go anywhere. Coming up is your CTV news update as we continue to take your calls and your text messages.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Happy long weekend, 9:35. Walter Assey joins me to answer your biggest, toughest, most hard-hitting renovation questions. We just had a interesting conversations about groundhogs and kitty litter. So let's see if we can keep things going. We've got Harry from Park Extension, who has a problem with a bathtub in his basement. Oh, Harry, are you there?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good, Harry. Take it away.
Okay, I had just installed a jacuzzi bathtub downstairs in the basement, but the problem is that I'm getting the water, it's not draining properly, like it takes a long time.
You just installed that, you said, like recently, new?
Yes.
In construction? Okay. In order to do that... the plumber had to break the cement slab and create a drain, or they made it more like a surface drain by building a higher subfloor?
Yeah, you had the connection there. It was an old bathtub, so we just put the PVC and the plastic pipe there to connect the main and go through. But it's small. It's like about 2 or 3 inches. But it has no air, like any air, like to go there.
There's no air? Is that what you said?
Yes.
There's no air. You mean it's not a vented? You don't have a vent. It was not vented, right? That's what you mean?
No, okay. No, that's right.
Okay. So, I mean, that is going to be an issue for sure. You could always install an automatic vent, which is in the wall itself. So that's something you could do after the fact. You just have to open the wall and install it. The only issue with these vents is that after several years, you replace them. So they're not made to last forever. But if you don't have a vent, that might be an issue. That's number one. Number two is usually when you install a bathtub in a new connection, we always like to pass a camera prior. Because during construction, sometimes lots of debris goes into the drain. And, you know, it clogs it. Sometimes it's a partial blockage. And that's why you might have that slow drain because it's not completely clogged. So what I would do is I would also check the plumber that you're going to call to install for you the automatic aeration for your plumbing should also at the same time pass the camera just to make sure that you don't have any blockage inside the drain itself. And that's very common in new construction, new renovation. We see it a lot. You see, sometimes we see grout, we see, you know, chunks of concrete. You'll be surprised what you find.
Yeah, okay. But is this, let's say if I cut the pipe there and I put an extra long piece to go a little bit and make a little hole there, that will help?
Little piece, little hole. I'm not really getting what you're trying to say.
Okay. On this that drains the water, right?
Yeah.
I cut it like between the drain and the tub, and I put a long extension like to go on top.
Are you trying to create like an air shaft type
exactly,
of thing?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna do all of that, might as well just put a proper aerator that is made for that. It's not expensive to buy.
Harry, I hope that helps you out. That was Harry in Park Extension calling in. 514-790-0800, 514-800 is our text line. We just got a text in. They didn't give a name, but it says, I have a front and back cold rooms. Both are made of cement. There's no insulation, no heat. What is the best way to insulate?
Repeat that again, sorry.
The person has a front and back cold room.
Okay.
Both are made of cement, no insulation, no heat. What's the best way to insulate?
Well, here's the thing with cold rooms. Cold rooms, technically, if you're going to use them as such, you're supposed to keep them as cold rooms. They're not really made to be insulated unless you create mechanically an air circulation inside of them. So the best way to insulate would be urethane, obviously. But then again, we need an air movement. So you need a humidistat in there. You would need some type of, because if you're going to have it, as a closed room at all times, then you're going to start having mold. You're going to have that musty smell. You're going to have that, you know, so we're going to have to be very careful with that. If you're going to start treating it as a room, then you're going to go with the urethane. Cold rooms usually have those vents. These have to be blocked, obviously. You know, one of the tricks as well, if this is going to be a well-insulated room, is you can have a louvered door or a door with traps that can allow the air from the basement to circulate there as well. Or you just simply keep the door open.
Perfect. So now we have another text message here asking for a recommendation. And this one, this is always tricky for you, Walter. Can you please recommend a reliable plumber to change some faucets and shut off valves in the Saint Laurent area?
Yes, off air, I might give her a couple of names. Usually plumbers, you want them to be local as much as possible, meaning in your area. You can get a guy from the South Shore or Terrebonne to come because it's going to cost you way too much and they're not going to be as available for you. I will give her a couple of names, but off air, I don't want to have other plumbers pissed off. I know there's a lot of contractors.
I was going to say.
A lot of contractors listen to the show.
That's a you problem, Walter.
It's a very touchy thing.
I don't want some angry plumbers coming after me. We had that question before about the lady with the groundhogs.
Yeah.
Somebody's wrote in to ask if you're just tuning in, Walter recommended using kitty litter.
That's a very popular. It was a very popular
soil kitty litter. Somebody's asking me right now, will it work for mice as well?
Mice is vinegar, believe it or not, white vinegar, so it's less messy.
I was going to say one is better than the other, but mice, what do you mean vinegar? Just
white
spray
vinegar,
the vinegar.
Well, wipe your cabinet. Let's say if it's in kitchen cabinet, wherever their trail is from, but you have to do it on a daily basis. So whatever trail you want to kill, you do it on a daily basis and you cut their chain of food. So any food source they might have, including, believe it or not, candy or anything that, or candles.
Candles?
Yeah, they munch on anything. So deprive them from their food source.
But what does the vinegar do exactly?
The vinegar is the smell of it will kind of...
Repel them?
Repel them, exactly. As long as you do it on a daily basis.
So you're wiping down the surface? Are you mixing it with anything?
No, just the vinegar. You could mix it with a bit of water if you want, just that, to get that smell out. And what you do is you take a damp cloth and you do it. Or you could take a push-push and just spray a little bit in that trail.
Push-push is the technical term I use in my house as
there,
well.
There you go.
It is.
I have to use a very well-known term for everybody to use. I like that.
I like a push-push. Yeah. Someone writes in, because it was a popular story, someone writes in saying, Joanne, cheap cologne works. Aquavelva repels everything. Remember Aquavelva from the 80s and 90s? I don't know if it's still a thing.
I don't
use Aquavelva is like one of these colognes that's not known for its fresh scent. So anyway, okay.
I would not wear anything that repels everything.
Okay, 514-790-0800. We've got a call from Adele, which we will take in just a few minutes because I think it's going to be an interesting one. She's calling from Ontario, so stay on the line, Adele. 514-790-0800. Call in with your questions. 514-800 is the text line. Please do remember to leave your name because we like to know who you are talking to. And to Tony, who was asking about the plumber, we'll figure out a way to get
off air. Yeah.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just shy of 9:50 on this Saturday morning, the start to your long weekend. Walter Assey is here to answer your conundrums, your questions when it comes to home renovation. And Adele has been waiting very patiently on the line. She's calling from Van Cleek, Ontario. Did I get that right, Adele?
You absolutely did, Joanne.
Talk to me about your humidity in the basement. What's going on?
Okay. The type of house that we have here in Quebec would be termed a side split. So my bottom level, the basement, is totally underground. The humidity level is concerning, and have a humidifier going, you know, just a regular, whatever, 20-pint humidifier. But I'm wondering, we're on a gas furnace central system, if there would be a better alternative, because emptying that constantly is getting to be a challenge.
What do you think, Walter?
So you have, okay, do you have a hygrometer in your basement that can tell you what the humidity levels are?
I do have one on the humidifier itself,
okay.
And I do have a Nest thermostat, but I'm not sure it's capturing the basement completely.
What is it showing as a reading?
I can go anywhere from 40 to 68%.
So 40 to 55 we can live with. Anything above that is a problem. There's a couple of things. One of them could be that you're one or a bigger one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, do you have air conditioning?
Yes, I have central air, yes.
Okay. And do you have any registers for that in the basement?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Again, I would be reading off the Nest thermostat, which is on the main level of the home.
The main level is not an accurate way to look at this because you want really to capture the humidity inside that room. An air conditioner, if you would have had a couple of registers in your basement, that would have helped in the humidity issue. But more importantly, I want to see if you have any issues with water seepage or water damages that are coming without you noticing. And I'll tell you why you will notice. If you have a subfloor in your basement and something is seeping through your foundation, more likely than not, you won't be able to pinpoint that trail because it goes, you know, in the wall under the subfloor. Eventually, you might discover it when your foot goes through the floor because things have rotted to to a certain degree that, you know, it can actually... collapses under your feet. Do you have a subfloor in your basement?
No, this room is totally unfinished, so I'm on the cement slab.
Okay, that's awesome. That's actually very good. Now we're gonna transition to something else. We're gonna look at the foundation itself, and we're gonna see if there's any efflorescence on the foundation. So this white chalky substance, or on the slab for that matter.
There are on some of the walls, not on the floor as such.
Okay. And you're not seeing with that efflorescence any water dampening or water stains or water trickles or water traces?
No, I am not. We purchased the home. We moved to this house in 2021.
Okay.
And the one part of the floor where it meets an outside wall, there was about an inch and a half gap. And we did have water coming through there. So we installed the sump pump, which was the contractor's recommendation.
Okay.
And that did solve that problem.
Okay. So one of the issues with unfinished basements is that you will create naturally, what you're doing is you're naturally creating humid conditions because your slab is humid, your foundation walls are humid. And in the winter, you're going to have the hot air meeting the cold air, and then you're going to have condensation. So it doesn't help the fact that the foundation is not finished. That's why you see in newer homes, what they do is now in the code obliges the contractor to insulate the rim joist and to install drywall just on the exterior walls. Not on the interior walls or not on the ceiling, but on the exterior walls. It's because they want to, as much as possible, decrease the humidity in the basement by doing so.
Okay.
So if you have a plan, if it's becoming a chronic issue that you can't live with, what I would recommend that you do at one point, insulate your exterior walls, build your 2x4s, urethane, and put drywall with one fire tape. You don't need to finish it more than that. One mm-hmm. fire tape for fire purposes, or you can hydrofuge it, meaning you can urethane the walls and then put an ignifuge coat, which is a light cement coat. So what that does is it kind of breaks the thermal conductivity, and you won't have as much condensation, and you will decrease the amount of humidity in that area. You know, better yet, if you could put some type of a dry core system on your floors to cut the humidity coming from the slab, that also would help. These are a bit more drastic measures.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have any water infiltration issues, you don't have any cracks, you don't have any, you know, that would really be the answer to your question. Because
okay.
you are in a basement, cement is, foundation slabs are humid in nature. So either you dehumidify aggressively with a dehumidifier, which is going to, you know, be a problem for you to empty all the time, or you kind of go to the source of a problem and really solve it at source.
Got you. One last question, Walter. Would it be worthwhile putting maybe a couple of baseboard heaters in there to have them going occasionally? Would that be a plus?
Not really, because the issue that you really have is mostly going to happen in the summer. That's when you're going to have the most humidity. In the winter, it's naturally dry. So, you know, most often than not, you're not going to... Your biggest issues are going to be in a July 40 degrees, 100% humidity outside type of thing.
Okay.
And a heater is not going to solve your issue, okay?
Okay.
And mm-hmm. air conditioning, on the other hand, will help solve your issue, will help decrease the humidity, okay? So you can have those portable ACs if you want. That might help as well.
Adele, I hope that helps you out.
It did. Thank you both ever so much. Enjoy your long weekend.
Likewise. Okay, that does it for us, Walter. Walter, by the way, before we go, I just say the text line everyone's writing with their extermination issues.
It's Groundhog Day today.
It's literally the day of the groundhog.
See if we see
many
our
of
shadows.
You are dealing with groundhogs and bugs. Good luck with all of that. we'll talk again next Saturday.
Absolutely.
Have a great long weekend. Just shy of 10 o'clock right now. Don't go anywhere. Your CTV News update is coming up.